So we're carrying on our series in Proverbs, carrying on just a particular part of it, which is mostly in the second two-thirds, as it were, of Proverbs, and we're looking at particular themes, and so drawing verses together on that theme, and this morning's wisdom about humility and pride. So let's read those verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, and then it goes on to list six other things. When pride comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. Where there is strife, there is pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. Whoever disregards discipline comes to poverty and shame. But whoever heeds correction is honored. A fool's mouth lashes out with pride, but the lips of the wise protect them. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he sets the widow's boundary stones in place. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be lowly in spirit along with the oppressed than to share plunder with the proud. Before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the unplowed field of the wicked, produce sin. The proud and arrogant person, mocker is his name, behaves with insolent fury. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for them. Pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor. Oh, let's pray. Our Father, it is our prayer simply that you would be honored, that you would be glorified. That the praise would go to you, Lord. As we study your word, as your spirit graciously, we pray, applies it to our hearts, as our lives are changed, Lord, we pray indeed that the glory and honor and praise would go to you and to your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. So we're looking at wisdom about humility and pride from the book of Proverbs. And I want to start by sharing with you part of an article from a website for women wanting advice on relationships. See yourself as a goddess. Begin to notice your perfections when you look in the mirror. Receive compliments as graciously and copiously as you give them. Say yes, yes, yes a lot with rebellious and delightful energy. Affirm yourself daily with delicious words including magical, mystical, sparkling, juicy, ethereal, beauty, intuitive, divine. When you see yourself as goddess, this is the gorgeous energy you radiate, and hence you begin to attract similarly gorgeous people into your life. End of quote. That's from an article entitled How to Marry Yourself, by a woman called Anita Revelle. You probably haven't heard of her, even though she is amazingly gorgeous. Well, at least that's what she says. But I wonder if you can guess who the next quote comes from. If we could have the first one up, Phil. Show me someone without an ego, and I'll show you a loser. Dan's barred because he knows the answer to this. Who do you think that is? Any offers? Donald Trump. I don't know, you guessed it, but there we are. Yes, it is. It's Donald Trump. What about this one? Who said this and about whom? He must become greater, I must become less. John the Baptist about Jesus. That's from John 5:30. Or who said this one? But for that reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. The Apostle Paul, yeah, 1 Timothy 1 verse 16. Pride is a massive problem. Or is it? Someone has suggested that pride used to be seen as one of the seven deadly sins, even the first of them, but has now been reclassified as the first of the virtues. You see, pride has signed up with an advertising agency and is now marketing itself as self-esteem. We're going to start by looking at pride in the first 2 points, and then we'll move on to look at humility in the last 2 points. And the first thing we see as we look at the book of Proverbs and what it has to say about pride is that pride is deluded. Pride is deluded. And it seemed to me, studying these, trying to group them together, that there are two key aspects of pride that we see in the book of Proverbs. Firstly, it is an overestimate of our abilities. Proverbs 3 verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding, the book of Proverbs says, but why not? Well, obviously we have to read the second line alongside the first line, and the first line said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So it's about leaning, pride is about leaning on your own understanding over against leaning on the Lord's understanding. You know, imagine yourself in a situation, we've all been in this situation, you have to decide what to do. You read the Bible, you're a Christian, and it's clear what the Bible says, what God says. It's very clear, you should do that, you shouldn't do this. But the instructions you read in the Bible aren't what you think would be the best thing to do in that circumstance. So what are you going to do? Well, you think about it. I don't really understand that. I can't see how that would work. I really don't see how that could possibly be the best thing to do. Actually, I think it would be far wiser to do such and such instead. Now, so far, that's okay. If you then think, but of course I'm just a weak, sinful creature with very limited understanding. It isn't surprising that I don't really understand things as well as God does. And then you do what God says is best, rather than what you think is best. But of course, pride means we don't often do that. Pride means we lean on our own understanding. I think it's probably better if I do what I understand. You see, we're overestimating our abilities. We're saying, what it boils down to is, I think I know better than God. And so you do what seems right to you rather than what God says is right. Chapter 3 verse 7 puts it another way. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't think you know everything, so that your views are always going to be right. Being wise in your own eyes, as this verse shows us, is the very opposite of fearing the Lord. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Boy, what's the alternative? fear the Lord and shun evil. If you're wise in your own eyes, you are big and God is small in your thinking. If you fear the Lord, then God is big and you are small in your thinking. But if you are wise in your own eyes, then of course your views are right and you can ignore God's, and the result is you do evil. So pride is firstly, according to Proverbs, an overestimate of our own abilities. And it is also secondly an overestimate of our importance. Three verses following each other on the sheet, 18 verse 12. Before a downfall, the heart is haughty, but humility comes before honour. 21 verse 4. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the unploughed field of the wicked, produce sin. 21 verse 24. The proud and arrogant person, mocker is his name, behaves with insolent fury. Now if we put the first line of 18 verse 12, before a downfall the heart is haughty, alongside the first line of chapter 16 verse 18, pride goes before destruction. It's not so obvious in the English, but actually in the Hebrew, they are identical, except that 18 verse 12 replaces pride with the heart is haughty. So you could read 16:18 as before destruction, before a downfall, comes pride. Verse 18 verse 12, before a downfall, the heart is haughty. So you put them together and you see that pride is a haughty heart. And haughty, the word translated haughty is actually very vivid in the Hebrew, because it's literally a high heart. A haughty heart is a high heart. You see, pride looks down on others. Pride thinks, I'm up high, they're down below. So it looks down on them. To be proud is to have a very high estimate of your own importance. We get the same idea in 21 verse 4, don't we? Haughty eyes and a proud heart. Haughty eyes is literally high eyes. You quite literally, if you're proud, think you're up on high so you can look down on others. But what if others don't agree? 21 verse 24, the proud and arrogant person, mocker is his name, behaves with insolent fury. Insolent fury is literally fury of pride. How dare anyone challenge me? I'm above them. I'm above criticism. To challenge a proud person is likely to result in you getting attacked. Now, I find it very hard to read verse 21, verse 24. The proud and arrogant person, mocker is his name, behaves with insolent fury, without thinking of President Trump. There are plenty of proud and arrogant people in our world who round on people who challenge them. But as the President of the USA, he happens to be more in the limelight than most of the others, or any of the others. Though, to be fair, other national leaders like Vladimir Putin, Xi Jinping, Kim Jong-un, and President Erdogan of Turkey, they give him a run for his money. And President Trump seems to so believe his own publicity that he appears to genuinely believe that he is so superior to anybody else that anyone who criticizes him must be attacked with insolent fury. Or President Erdogan. In the news just on Friday was this. This is a quote from a news website. A Turkish court has sentenced a prominent opposition official to 9 years and 8 months in prison for insulting the president and spreading terrorist propaganda. But I suspect in the president's mind the two come to the same thing. But you see, in our pride, we think, this isn't an overestimate of my importance. I really am higher than anyone else. I really can look down on them. So why are we wrong? Chapter 3, verse 7. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Remember that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To have a right estimate rather than an overestimate of your own importance and your own ability, you have to see that the Lord is great and awesome. Just to let you into a secret, I am really tall. I'm well aware of the fact, I'm very conscious of this fact, but I have to be very careful not to stand by Joseph, because he rather shows up the fact that I have an overestimate of my height. And likewise, I may think that I'm important, but if I stand myself next to God, then I realise just what an incredibly stupid idea that is. So pride is deluded. Pride is an overestimate of our abilities. Pride is an overestimate of our importance. So pride means my thinking is a bit off-beam. I've rather overestimated how able I am, how important I am. But hey guys, is that such a big deal? Does it matter that much? Well, that brings us to the second point. Pride is deadly. And again, going through the verses, it seems that pride is deadly, according to Proverbs, for two particular reasons, or they fall into two areas. Firstly, pride is deadly because of its social consequences. Chapter 11, verse 2. I'm going to look at two or three verses under this heading. Chapter 11, verse 2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. How is that? Why is it that if pride comes into your life, disgrace results? Well, the second line of the proverb tells us the opposite. But with humility comes wisdom. Now, clearly, humility is the opposite to pride. We can understand that. But this line focuses, the second line of the proverb, focuses on how with humility comes wisdom. Now we can work that out, can't we? We can follow the reasoning. If you're humble, you are teachable. You don't overestimate your abilities. You're open to learning how to be wiser. Now, with that in mind, we can fill in some of the gaps in the first line. When pride comes, you see, you think you have nothing more to learn. You aren't teachable. And that means you keep making the same foolish mistakes. And that ultimately brings disgrace into your life. You know, most people who are fairly mild-mannered will forgive someone for doing something foolish once. If they're particularly mild-mannered, they may be even forgive you a second time if you do the same stupid thing a second time. But if it becomes evident that this is someone who just keeps on doing the same stupid thing time and time and time again, because clearly they aren't teachable, because they're proud, the result is disgrace. Or another reason why pride is deadly because of its social consequences, 13 verse 10. Where there is strife, there is pride. The writer is saying that pride is always there when there's a conflict. The reason for that, given in this proverb, is similar to that in 11 verse 2. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. Tremper Longman, commenting on this verse, says, probably because they would rather fight than listen to those who would criticize them. Pride causes conflicts. We can see that in 14 verse 3 as well. A fool's mouth lashes out with pride. C.S. Lewis commented, it's because I wanted to be the big noise at the party that I am so annoyed at someone else being the big noise. You know, you think in pride you are more important than anyone else, so you lash out at anybody else who challenges your sense of importance. So pride results in conflicts. And then also pride famously leads to destruction, doesn't it? 16 verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. You see, pride sets you at odds with those who are rightfully in authority over you. The teenager who can't bear being told to do what to do by a parent, because I know better than they do. Or can't bear being told what to do by a teacher. Actually, I could run this class better than you. Or the employee who thinks they know better than the boss. I don't know why they promoted you. I should have got the job. Or the citizen who believes the government has no right to tell them what to do. And the result is destruction of some sort. Falls of all sorts. Because you set yourself up against legitimate authority. So pride is deadly because of its social consequences, but even worse than that, pride is deadly because of its spiritual consequences. There are three proverbs in quick succession at the end of chapter 15, beginning of chapter 16, which not only deal with pride and humility, but very directly bring the Lord into the picture. 15:25, the Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he sets the widow's boundary stones in place. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honour. 16 verse 5. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. I'm just going to zoom in and focus on one of them, 16 verse 5, because it seems to really take us to the heart of the matter. The Lord detests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Now the language is very, very strong. It's not saying the Lord has a mild dislike of the proud in heart. It's the Lord detests all the proud of heart. You can place that alongside chapter 6, verse 16, beginning of verse 17. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him, and the first is haughty eyes. Now, let's just firstly, clear away some rubbish from the ground. Let's deal with the often stated view that the Lord hates the sin, but loves the sinner. I'm afraid that is completely unbiblical. This verse, along with others in the Bible, is very, very clear that the Lord hates the sinner as well, not just the sin. And in this case, the Lord detests all the proud of heart. But what is it about pride that the Lord finds particularly detestable? Derek Kidner explains it well. He says, the special evil of pride is that it opposes the first principle of wisdom, the fear of the Lord, and the two great commandments, that is, love for God and love for your neighbour. End of quote. You see, if you are proud, you have too high an estimate of yourself and too low an estimate of the Lord. You are big and you're thinking God is small. If you are proud, instead of loving the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, you love yourself with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And if you're proud, instead of loving your neighbor as yourself, I'll just stick with loving myself. I mean, after all, I'm so much better than my neighbour. You see, effectively, pride puts me at the centre of the universe. Pride is ultimately self-worship. Pride makes me God. Pride is idolatry. So it is no wonder that the one true and living God, the only one who is worthy to be worshipped and praised and adored, finds pride so offensive. And God doesn't just seethe inwardly and say, oh, this is awful, I wish I could do something about this. No, be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. All the proud of heart will be punished. And since pride is a problem for all of us, that means we all face eternal punishment. But praise God, that isn't the end of the story. That's just looking at pride. On the other hand, thirdly, humility brings life. Pride comes from a failure to include God in the picture, or at least a total and utterly mistaken view of me in relation to God. Pride is deluded. But on the other hand, humility sees things rightly. And I want to turn in this particular point, which is fairly short, to two wonderful proverbs. Firstly, 15 verse 33, wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. As I commented earlier, if you want to see things rightly, if you want to get things in perspective, you need to stand next to God. In other words, the way to stop looking down on people is to look up to God. If you're going to sum up wisdom in one sentence, it is this one, 15:33. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord. And the wonderful thing about this instruction is it applies to every single area of life. If you want to get it right about envy, as we've seen in past weeks, fear the Lord. If you want to get it right about greed, fear the Lord. And today, if you want to get it right about pride, fear the Lord. Stand in awe of God. Be amazed by His power. Be astonished by the absolute purity of His character. Be overwhelmed by His promises. Be humbled by His love. For the amazing thing is that this awesome God honors the humble. 15:33 again. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. And the other verse I want to point us to is 22 verse 4. Humility is the fear of the Lord. Its wages are riches and honor and life. God honors the humble with riches and honor and life. Now, those riches and honour and life are certainly not promised in this life. Rather, we need to look to the future. Jesus famously said, didn't he, on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The meek or the humble will inherit the earth. The humble have an eternal home in heaven. The humble have eternal life. And when you put this verse, this point, that humility brings life, together with the previous one, that pride is deadly, we see a great paradox, but one that is vital for us to grasp, and that is that the only way up is down. The only way up is down. 29 verse 23, great proverb. Pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor. If you exalt yourself, if you start put yourself on a pedestal and try and look down on others and say how wonderful you are, you will be brought low. But if you bring yourself low, if you are lowly in spirit, if you humble yourself before God, then you will gain honor, for God will raise you up. He'll raise you up to glory. So, pride is deluded. Pride is deadly. Humility brings life. But we got a problem, because We're fallen human beings, and nothing comes more naturally to us than pride. You know, even despair is a form of pride, for despair is saying, oh, you know, I ought to be up there. So where do we find this humility? Well, fourthly and finally, and most wonderfully, I've certainly saved the best till last in terms of the scripture, what he has to teach us, humility begins at the cross. Humility begins at the cross. You must come to the cross. 15:33, wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord. And when we were looking at fearing the Lord in the very first sermon in the series, we saw that fearing the Lord wonderfully includes being in awe of the wonderful salvation he has provided. It's not just sort of craven terror. It's saying, wow, God, you are so amazing, this fantastic way of saving sinners like me. And Philippians 2 verses 5 to 11 takes us to the very heart of that wonderful salvation. Let's hear those wonderful verses. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Christ Jesus, who was in very nature God, didn't use his status as the Son of God to his own advantage. I mean, he genuinely could have looked down on everyone else, for he really is God. But he didn't. He humbled himself and became a human being. He didn't look down on us. He came down to be with us. And having humbled himself by becoming one of us, he further humbled himself by living a life of service, not a life where he was served. And that service extended to the ultimate level of laying down his life for us. He humbled himself to the extent of dying on the cross for our sins so that we might be forgiven. You know, when we look at the cross, we see one who was greater than us in every respect. He is the very Son of God. We are merely human beings. He is perfect in every way. We are sinners rotten to the core, marred by sin in every aspect of our being. He showed incredible love and mercy to unworthy sinners like you and me, even when we were his enemies. He laid down his life for us in obedience to his Father. And as a result of this, God the Father has exalted him to the highest place and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I mentioned earlier that the Bible is very clear that God detests the proud. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't love the proud. The Bible also tells us that God so loved the proud that he sent his Son to die to save us. That is the paradox. God hates us as proud sinners. But he also loves proud sinners such as us. So much that he sent his Son to die to save them. It isn't either, well, does God hate me or love me? It's both and. Praise God, his love has triumphed in the case of Christians over his hate on the cross. And it's a vitally important part of that love is that he humbles us by bringing us to the foot of the cross. God in his love brings us down. The place to find humility is to be humbled at the foot of the cross. John Stott helps us to understand, the Christian leader who died a few years ago, why the cross has this powerful effect. He writes, "Every time we look at the cross, Christ seems to be saying to us, I'm here because of you. It's your sin I'm bearing, your curse I'm suffering, your debt I am paying, your death I am dying." And he goes on, "Nothing in history or in the universe cuts us down to size like the cross. All of us have inflated views of ourselves, especially in self-righteousness, until we have visited a place called Calvary. It's there at the foot of the cross that we shrink to our true size." End of quote. Carl Henry, who was arguably the leading evangelical theologian in the last century, in the mid to late 20th century, was once asked how he managed to remain so humble, because he apparently was a very humble man, despite his great gifts. And his answer was simple but profound. How can anyone be arrogant when he stands beside the cross? So to learn that we are in no position to look down on anyone, we need to stand at the foot of the cross and look up at the Son of God. So have you come to the cross? Have you looked up and seen the Son of God dying for you? Have you been humbled there? Have you relied on him for forgiveness for all your pride and for the sins that your pride has led you into? If you haven't, why not do so today? Jesus is ready and waiting. And the great paradox is that as we stand at the foot of the cross, looking up, as we are humbled, as we think of Christ dying for our sin and humbly put our faith in him, it is there that we also find the things that pride is seeking after and pride doesn't manage to find. Because at the foot of the cross, we find the wonderful identity that pride craves after. Because as we put our faith in the crucified Son of God, we become children of God. John puts it wonderfully, 1 John 3 verse 1. "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are." What? You can't get a higher position than that. And it's yours as you kneel at the foot of the cross. And it's also there at the foot of the cross that we find the security that we crave. For there, as we put our faith in the Saviour who is crucified for us, we gain eternal life. John 3 verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just confess before you that not only is pride deluded and deadly, but it is profoundly foolish, for it can't deliver what it seeks. Father, we rejoice that humility, amazingly, is the way to gain honour and status that really lasts, and security for all eternity. Father, we can't conjure up that humility in ourselves, but Father, we pray that in your mercy and grace, you would bring us to the foot of the cross, that we might see Jesus crucified for us, and that we might be humbled, that we might find life, that we might find humility. We ask it in Jesus' name, and for your glory. Amen.